Senior Focus. Kia ora tātou. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And today's program, I'm interviewing Sally Hughes from the Character Coalition. And Sally and I are experienced at having these conversations because we've had Sally in before at least twice on this program to talk about the Character Coalition and its particular vision for Auckland for the future. And today I'm wanting really to hear from Sally to get an update. But for those listeners who aren't familiar, the Character Coalition is a group of more than 80, it's a coalition, it's made up of more than 80 groups of people across Auckland, and they're not all living in the leafy green suburbs, but they are people who care about the retaining of the heritage of Auckland, especially the wonderful wooden buildings that are so classic and the largest collection of this type in the world. So, Sally, I'm welcoming you to this session. Thank you for joining
us. Kia ora, Anne-Marie. Nice to be here.
Yes, and to kick off the discussion about the future of Auckland under intensification, which is the big bogey and is being pushed by central government, would you care to fill us in a little bit on the historical tracks that have been laid with regards to legislation, where central government has brought in the legislation and push the council to adopt a certain plan? So if we can go back 5 years to 2021, starting with the three stories legislation. That's what I call it, three stories legislation, because really that's what it was about.
Yeah, sure. It's quite convoluted, and I'm sure that some people are a bit sick of hearing about it because it has all dragged on so long. But it is important to know what that history has been and how the public have been included and not included in it. So, yes, in 2021, the Labor government brought in a piece of legislation that essentially intensified most of Auckland with very little nuance to where that intensification would be. Most properties were, as you said, allowed for the zoning of three buildings on every site. So many people didn't like that legislation, and the National Party at that stage, they campaigned on getting rid of that piece of legislation.
But that was also after they had actually voted for it.
The National Party did get together with Labor to bring in that 2021. But they realised that a lot of Aucklanders didn't like it, and they campaigned on getting rid of Plan Change 78, which was Auckland Council's response to that legislation that was dictated by the government. They had to do a plan that allowed for that. So people spent a lot of time and money and effort submitting on Plan Change 78. And then once the National Party was government, they changed it again. They brought in... They got rid of 78, but they said instead of 78, you need Plan Change 120, which will allow the same level of capacity. So that was sort of something people weren't expecting and were quite angry about, because they thought there was going to be some relief to that level of intensification.
Yes, just talking numbers here, this intensification in the original plan was to bring in 1 million additional dwellings in Auckland.
To, 2 million.
I'm sorry, it was to step up from the unitary plan that allowed for 1 million to the Plan 78 change, which was to bring in 2 million.
Yeah.
And then came Plan 120, which was still 2 million.
So again, the people were not happy about this. Some people, of course, were happy because there are groups in Auckland who want large amounts of intensification and see the need for that. But in fact, the unitary plan, as you said, did already allow for over 1 million, and our economists who've been doing a great deal of work on this said that if there is already enough capacity, creating more capacity won't bring prices down because there is already enough capacity. So what you'd get then is the pepper potting of maybe up to 15 story buildings in some parts of Auckland, out of character with the area they are being built in. And so that's what we are trying to avoid, is that sort of pepper potting and that intensification in areas where it isn't needed.
And of course, there are some classic examples that have even taken place in the last 5 years. And I'm thinking of the 12-storey monstrosity in Milford, which is drawn the ire of a large majority of residents because it's so out of keeping with the rest of the ambience of Milford, and it's in an awkward position, right on the edge of the mangrove swamps, at the back of the shops, and it blocks sunlight and views from people further back. But it was not well thought out in terms of what the impact would be on the local residents.
Yes, that's a big issue, is that this isn't good planning. This is responding to an ideology that a lot of intensification is a good thing, and it's not thinking through where it's really needed and where it should be most,
when
it would be most appropriate.
Yes. So with the current situation, can you outline where we're at with Plan 120 now that the Minister has actually got wind of the intense dislike of the 2 million figure and has lowered this figure to 1.6 and then even more recently to 1.4?
Yes, in the new legislation, he reduced it again to 1.4, which is a good thing. However, the council is the one that is responsible for reducing that intensification and redoing Plan Change 120 in order to reduce some of that density that people have been so unhappy about. But in the process of doing that, the council has come up with a principle that they want to follow to reduce that density, that they won't be reducing any density within a radius of 10 kilometres from the CBD. And of course, those are the character areas within that radius, and those are the areas that wanted some relief from density in these little narrow streets in St Mary's Bay and Herne Bay and Freeman's Bay, where it's not appropriate to have 15-storey buildings, and would reduce the amenity of all of those neighbourhoods and also ruin the character of them. So we're now, although the Minister has listened to what Aucklanders have wanted, the council is not listening, and it's going to be reducing that density outside of that 10 kilometre radius. So we're talking about areas quite outside the central Auckland where they may be reducing density, and that's good for those people if they don't want that density. But it also seems a little bit round the wrong way, because some of those suburbs that are further from Auckland are sometimes more reasonably priced. And so maybe that is a good place for density. So yes, it's the whole thing is a mishmash and not good planning.
Yes, and this is real come in the wake of the council disestablishing the design unit, the planning unit that was actually to prevent having tacky boxes and these developments of three-storey dwellings with just a driveway entrance down one side of the section and reaching very close to the boundaries on the other three sides.
Yes, there's quite a lot of the planning mechanisms that used to make neighbourhoods livable have been removed, and in Plan Change 120 the setbacks are much smaller and the boundaries much closer to each other. So many areas in the inner city say that you wouldn't even be able to get a fire hose, let alone a fire engine, between the houses to deal with a fire in those areas. So there's lots of really important planning things that have been ignored in this new plan.
Yes, and as well as the difficulty of getting fire engines, and there are difficulties with getting ambulances in, I believe.
Yes, there are. Yeah, it's really impacting livability for many.
And also the sad thing is that where intensity is provided for in other cities, where they've reduced car usage in the inner city, they've also made a really big impact by increasing walkability. Walkability has become, you know, the criteria for judging how humanely the developments are being thought out, whether people of all ages can navigate their way around and be relatively safe and not be blown around by wind funnel effects from too many multi-storey buildings too close together.
Yep.
So with this 10K radius, I'm wondering just visually for the listener's benefit, if you can sort of give us a rough appearance of how much does this actually cover of the, not just the CBD of Auckland, but how far does this 10K radius stretch?
Yes, it is quite hard to visualise it, but where it cuts across in the north is probably around Constellation Drive, so across the top of the North Shore. So most of the southern North Shore is within that 10K, so not getting any relief. And then it goes across through Te Atatū and down round, and then in the south it's through the sort of the middle of Onehunga. Yeah. So it's a very large area, and those are the areas that they're saying will not have any relief from the density. So the large amount of intensification that is planned for Parnell, St Mary's Bay, Herne Bay, Freeman's Bay, Kingsland, Epsom, Mount Eden, all of that density and some of those 15-storey buildings near the railway and rapid transport, that will all stay.
I mean, one can understand the council wanting to make sure that the maximum intensification is occurring around the railway stations and the railway line, but it does seem to be very remiss to disrupt character neighbourhoods, precincts that carry heritage, meaning, value, and ambience, and make the city the attractive place that it is. It seems very unfortunate that there will be no preservation that can be guaranteed in any shape or form.
Mm. One of the other big issues is the consultation about all of these plans. So as a lot of listeners will know, there was consultation over Plan Change 78, but there has been no consultation with the public over Plan Change 120. So before it was released, there was no consultation. Nobody had a chance to have input into what they wanted in that new plan. And then when the minister reduced the 2 million, we thought, oh good, there'll now be opportunity to have some consultation with the public, but that is not planned for at all. We've written to the hearings panel that has been appointed to point this out and say, under all resource management planning, there is always an allowment for consultation with the public. But the council is only going to consult with the local boards and with iwi. And we have no idea how the local boards are going to consult with their populations in order to feed into that. But we don't think it's at all fair that the community are not having an opportunity. This is a big change from Plan Change 78 through to Plan Change 120. It has been an enormous change. And the public have not had an opportunity to be consulted on that.
And is there a case to go to the Auditor General as this is poor governance?
Well, we have written to the chair of the hearings panel to ask her to consider it and to say whether or not she agrees that that there are any natural justice issues, as the council said to us, but they won't even meet with us as an interested party. So usually in these processes, people can meet with the council and say, oh, well, what about this? And can we come to an agreement on this? And sometimes that reduces the number of things the panel has to consider, but the council won't meet with us. So we've written to the panel chair and asked her what her opinion is on this.
Mm. And have you received any reply yet?
No, we've only just sent that letter. So, yeah.
Okay, so it's a case of watch the space. I can see we'll be having you back. Now, as the Character Coalition is made up of 80 groups.
It's 70, actually.
It's 70, okay.
Yeah.
I know there's individuals as well. But, But of these 70 groups, how strong is their commitment to being part of a strong advocacy campaign?
Yes, well, particularly the suburbs that are most affected by this have been very active in trying to get some sense talked into people, and their advocacy was what I think persuaded the minister to reduce those numbers from 2 million down to 1.4, because you know those suburbs could be completely ruined by this level of intensification. So yes, they're very, very committed and very active. And so we are the overarching group, but certainly all of those groups have been advocating on their own behalf. Parnell and Remuera, all of those inner city are very active.
Right.
Particularly the suburbs that will be most affected, like Kingsland and Mount Eden, because they have railway stations. And so that's where those 15-storey buildings are designed for. and you know, that is not how those suburbs see themselves. That will ruin the character of those suburbs.
And we've talked about the character of these suburbs before, but just again for those who are not aware, there is some international interest in the standard and the quality of the wooden buildings, the range of styles, and the fact that they form a concentrated block within these suburbs. Yes. Would you like to comment further on this?
Yes, I would, because we did, there is a piece of research that was done 2 years ago, I think now, by a Masters of Architecture, Joshua Howie, and he looked around the world, in fact, not just in New Zealand, and looked at other jurisdictions that have concentrations of character building. So he looked at Brisbane and San Francisco and Melbourne. He looked widely, and he discovered through this research that New Zealand, in fact Auckland, has the largest and best quality collection of Victorian and Edwardian homes in the world. And he called them a tonga. He said we should be celebrating this collection, not trying to demolish it, because it's a treasure and it's something we should be proud of, and we should be using it as a tourist attraction, because I know some listeners will have been to look at those houses in San Francisco, the Seven Sisters, or the Painted Ladies, they're called, and they are a tourist attraction. I've been to see them myself because they're delightful, but that's seven houses. We've got whole suburbs like this, and we are not appreciating them.
Yes, and in addition to that, on one hand, we also have the irony on the other of some quite sizable sections that are empty in the likes of Kingsland, where developers have prepared and the weeds have come and grown while they've put everything on hold because there is not the market. There's not the market interest, in their eyes anyway, for them to and do the investment and to be sure of making a profit. So they're prepared to hold off and not actually build anything. So even though we've got this big housing crisis and we've got this real need for more housing, we have situations where there is available vacant land. It's not being used. The market's not there for the construction industry being robust enough to take advantage of it. And nothing's happening.
Yes, that's entirely correct. We did some investigation of Kingsland because that's one of the areas the minister keeps saying we must have the 15-storey buildings in Kingsland so that people can use the trains. And so we went and had a look, and yes, there are a number of large empty sections very close to the railway station that are ripe for development. And one in particular was consented for a big apartment building. But as you say, there is now an oversupply of apartments in Auckland, and there are a number of large apartment developments that are not being sold. In fact, one has been, the developer has decided to rent those apartments out because they can't get buyers for them. So where we have a housing shortage is in affordable housing and in social housing. And of course, social housing is what the government needs to build. But Kāinga Ora, on instruction from their minister, have stopped quite a lot of building. And one of those big sections is in Kingsland, where Kāinga Ora had consent for some 60 plus apartments, and then they have decided not to go ahead with that. So that's where the housing shortage is, in social housing and in affordable housing.
Yes, so it doesn't seem like, given these contrasting facts, it doesn't seem like we're solving anything anytime soon.
No, and the process is such a mess at this point that it's hard to know how the hearings process, which is due to start probably not till actually September, because of all the things that have to happen and before that, it's hard to see that that will come to any good conclusion, really, because there's not a lot of really good planning going on.
No, it's very disappointing because you can only remove the quality housing you've got. You can only remove it once. So once you begin...
Once it's gone, you don't ever get it back, that's correct. And that's the worry about the character housing, that we'll lose it forever and it really doesn't belong to just one generation. Heritage things belong to everyone and they belong to future generations as well as the generations that have gone and the ones that are here now. And I don't think it's right that one generation, our generation, can say, okay, they can go, we don't need those, because it doesn't just belong to this generation.
Yes, and overall, if we destroy heritage, the meaning around people's lives that's contained within that heritage legacy, we actually are demolishing what distinguishes our city from any other large conglomerate anywhere.
Mm.
So we end up with some sort of rubber-stamped housing, which doesn't reflect who we are.
Mm. Yes, it's unfortunate.
Very. So, I appreciate you sharing with us and filling us in. And we will look forward to hearing more from you as the situation intensifies. No doubt that word is getting overused, but I think with the election coming, there will be some very strong views expressed, and I'm sure that people living in neighbourhoods where they appreciate these buildings are going to let prospective MPs know. And I think they'll also get stronger in terms of speaking to their councillors. I mean, after all, the council elections will come in the next year, so they're not that far away either.
Yes, if people feel strongly about that, this issue, that's a very good idea for them to write to their councillor. Just an email, you know, that's as important these days as a letter. So, yes, let your councillors and your MPs know how you feel about this and what you want Auckland to look like.
And
Auckland that you want to live in.
Yes, and Sally, would you give us a link to more information and how you can help the Character Coalition with funds?
Yes, sure. So we have a website. It's charactercoalition.org.nz. And on that website, you can see how to donate to us if you are pleased with us for what we're doing, and all the latest information about what's happening about Plan Change 120.
Thank you very much, and we look forward to catching up again in the future. And thanks to our listeners.
Thank you very much. Nga mihi.
Ai. Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6 or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.